Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene today. Joining me this morning, WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapek, his son Rich, and John Marshall, who's restaurant critic for Columbus Monthly. We have a number of food-centered festivals going on as we speak. They've already gotten underway. The Greek Festival downtown, a very, very popular one, attracts sometimes 100,000 people.
Yeah, all at once, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because the line for the food always seems to, you know.
Although they do have a drive-through this year.
A drive-through Euro stand right. This year. So if you're just cruising by but you want a little Greek taste, it's, I think, on Swan Alley, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
The best thing for the Greek festival for me is that they do a sort of big spit-roasted lamb. Yeah. It's not in the line that you go through in the cafeteria or the gymnasium where they have the cafeteria, but it's sort of outside. It's really good stuff.
We don't have a lot of spit-roasted lamb in town, so we probably ought to take advantage of it. In Maryland, it does probably take over the neighborhood a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, it takes over the neighborhood, as does the Doodah and every other festival that goes on downtown. And, of course, parking is at a premium, especially in that area.
Yeah.
I think there's one parking garage in the area, and that's about it.
Yeah, you could park further down the block, but even those meters change on park, I think, in the evening. Yeah, it is tough, but it's worthwhile. Yeah. You get some spanakopita or baklava or some other stuff.
My advice would be to go earlier than later. Yeah. It tends to get busier as the day goes
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah. But in addition to food, I think there's music and dancing and all sorts of Greek works of art and lots of things to do and see over there.
Mm-hmm.
2928513, we're talking about food and restaurants today. Another big festival going on, not quite in the center of town, but in Millersport, which is about 25 miles away, the 65th annual Sweet Corn Festival. I have never gone to that.
It's fun.
Is it?
Yeah, go get the chicken soup from the Presbyterian ladies, and it's all fun. You can get the corn's good. It's usually because they're doing it in such vast quantities, it gets a little soggy. But, the whole atmosphere is fun. Yeah.
Now, corn has to be shucked, and then you have to run to the pot of boiling water to be proper. Or as my friend John Champlin likes to say, you have to take an electric kettle to the field and dip the corn in it to be exactly right.
Well, he likes to create these wonderful images for us on the radio when he joins us.
Is the corn harvest at its peak? I know there were so many.
I think with the unusually warm weather we've had, I suspect so.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it didn't get into the ground until June,
I
think.
Yeah. But it should be available at one of those many farmers markets.
Well, some corn expert will call in and tell us, is it at its peak or not?
So. Generally speaking, driving around as much as I do around Central Ohio and through the farms of Ohio, it doesn't look like many people have taken anything down yet,
really?
As far as I can tell. Yeah, I haven't seen hardly any fields plowed for it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually only been in the last couple of weeks that I've seen homegrown on the signs above the corn. So maybe we have this to look forward to. You just wrote or contributed to an article, John, about farmers markets in and around town, and apparently they're multiplying every summer.
Well, we found at least 30, and I don't mean produce stands, but real farmers markets, and they're listed in this month's issue of Columbus Monthly. John Champlin and I wrote a little intro to it, and then the Columbus Monthly staff did all the real work and investigation and found out that, so there's a list of them and their hours and days that they operate. So you'd be surprised at how many in the area. They're really popular now, and for good reason, because it's a place to get terrifically fresh produce, often at bargains, not always. Sometimes you pay premium prices. Depends. You have to watch for that. But I love farmers markets. And of course, now you see such a range of other goodies at farmers markets.
Flowers, candy.
Honey, cheese. Yeah. Artisanal cheesemakers are bringing their stuff. Blue Jacket Dairy, Oakville, Gouda. You'll see where the Oakville Farms does other than the Gouda, but they're famous for their Gouda. There's just, the baked goods are hit or miss, frankly. Sometimes they're terrific, sometimes they're not. I mentioned in the article Sue's Kitchen, which is a place, sort of a local small baker, and she operates at a couple, three of the markets. And I think some of her goodies are available at Market 65, the sort of fresh salad wrap place on State Street downtown.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Farmers market isn't just for eggplant and greens and tomatoes anymore, although for me that's still the main reason to go.
Sure.
And are you finding organic fruits and vegetables among the mix?
I think more so than not, in my experience at farmers markets, because I think people want it. They pay for it, and they're eager to get it. And I hear people, when I walk through the Clintonville Farmers Market or the North Market, or sometimes I go to the Worthington Market or the downtown Pearl Alley one, which I believe is on Fridays, you hear people asking. I've heard it probably half a dozen times in the last couple years, people saying, is this organic? Is this organic? And you see lots of signs. So I think people are interested in that.
Apparently it's quite difficult to be certified as an organic farmer. There are lots of steps that you have to go through, and your methods of farming have to be closely verified and certified.
Who does the certification?
I would think the Department of Agriculture. I'm not really sure.
I think that's right, but it's like anything else. And largely, you sort of have to trust, because I don't think there's very little. I think regulation of that, other than the certification process is you have to go through. But I don't think it's as much testing or inspection.
There's also degrees of being organic. It's one thing whether or not you use chemical fertilizers and whatnot on your plants, but there are certain types of like corn hybrids and whatnot that have been created formerly in a lab that even if, you put them in the ground and don't use anything but, manure and peat on them, they still aren't technically organic because of the way they were manufactured artificially. So there's different degrees of organic produce.
292-8513, we're talking with restaurant critics Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and John Marshall, restaurant critic for Columbus Monthly. As you mentioned, John, there are some 30 farmers markets. Did you find that they were pretty well geographically distributed around the area?
They are, all around Central Ohio. You find them from Easton and Reynoldsburg, down south of the city, north, all the suburbs from Arlington, Bexley, Westerville, Worthington. They all have farmers markets now.
Can you find one every day of the week? I noticed that there are a lot of them on Thursdays, and you kind of hate to have the competition. Or the folks that would want to be at multiple farmers markets, can they stretch themselves that thin?
I am not sure. I'd have to consult my Columbus Monthly, which you've got in your hand there, to know if there's a Monday or a Tuesday farmers market. There may be, but they tend to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Yeah.
292-8513. If you have a question or a contribution, give us a call this morning. We have John joining us now. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Just a question. I've seen an advertisement for Need. It's on High Street, I think, near Deepwood. And they've got a burger that's got slaw and Swiss and pork. It sounds like an interesting combination. I wondered if anyone has tried that restaurant, particularly that burger. And then quickly, if you could give a comment on where you think the best burger in Columbus is. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Yeah, we've been to Need a bunch of times, and really enjoyed it. I think they're kind of picking up speed a little bit. It was a slow start. It's a difficult location because, the parking in that area is at a premium.
It's pretty much right across from the convention center.
Right, exactly. And they do all their own. I think they're doing all their own bread products for sure.
Right, some of their own pasta. This is Ricky Lopez's place. You might remember from La Tavola.
La Tavola,
a successful Italian restaurant up north, and it reopened in this little place, and I think the food is excellent.
Yeah.
It really, really does a lot of – and local sourcing, too. They've got a big map of Ohio on the wall, and they've got places where they get their products and produce, and it's a good place. Let's wade into the controversy, shall we, on best burger in town? There's no question it's White Castle, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, well done.
Well, a consensus. Well,
I can say my favorite new burger in town is Graffiti Burger. It was originally just up in Dublin on Sawmill Road. They now also have a location around 5th and Grandview Avenue. It's a terrific burger. They're signature Graffiti Burger is two patties, comes with slaw on it and pickles. It's a terrific burger. What about you guys? What do you think?
Well, I guess the best one I've had of late is the Graffiti Burger. I'm trying to think if there's been one that has surpassed it. I like the bread product on that burger as well. I want to advise people if they want to order fries and they're with more than two people, fewer than four people. I'll start again. Fewer than four
that
people.
That would be one.
Or, that would be one. Fewer than four people. Go ahead and just order one order because the fries are huge.
Another terrific place I would want to mention. for the vegetarians out there especially, my wife loves the burger at North Star. It's a veggie burger with, you know, black beans, rice. I've heard great things about it. I'm a big carnivore, so I can't actually say I've tried it, but I thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, and North Star has that, and then they also serve a Nyman Ranch, a 7-ounce Nyman or Neiman. Is it Nyman or Neiman?
I think it's Neiman.
Neiman Ranch, which is a really high-quality producer. Also, that doesn't do any, you know, bovine growth hormone or unnecessary antibiotics.
And I think they serve
that
at Third and Hollywood, don't they?
Well, Third and Hollywood, they also do it at the North Stars, too, with sweet potato fries. I just had a great burger at the new Mojo Lounge right across from the Columbus Commons.
I was there yesterday. I didn't have the burger. I had a panini with turkey and cheese and some bacon on it and a little roasted vegetable. It's a neat place.
It's an interesting menu. You know, here you are sitting at a lounge. It's kind of a bar and a coffee shop, but at the same time you can have quinoa and berry salad or asparagus with parmesan or a burger, or somebody's doing some real cooking there, which I appreciate.
I had banh mi balls there one time. It was something I'd never expect to see. I thought it was a coffee shop originally, but yeah, they serve some great food.
Well, when you hear Mojo, you do think of a coffee shop. And this is near Columbus Commons on 3rd?
It's on the Cap.
If you remember where the Christmas display was at Old Lazarus, that's where it's located.
And it's also on the Cap.
Yeah.
Rich is right. Yeah.
Well, I think it's, what, Cup of Joe during the day and Mojo Lounge at night on the Cap. I mean, I think they might do some kind of.
Yeah. But the one at the one right across from Columbus Commons on High Street serves lunch and dinner menu. So it's a Mojo Lounge all day long.
Well, we'll have to give that a try.
Nice looking place.
You know where I had a great bacon cheeseburger? The German Village Coffee Shop on Thurman. Now, they have real competitors because next door is the Thurman.
Is
the Thurman, the famous Thurman burger, which is another great burger.
And they're only open till 3 o'clock, I believe.
3 a.m.?
No, I think the German Village Coffee Shop, isn't that open only till like 3 in the afternoon, or is that open for dinner?
Two or three. Yeah, they're breakfast and lunch.
They're a breakfast place mainly, but it's good to know they have a good burger. I would never would have thought so.
I know you're younger than me, Rich, when you said they're only open till 3 a.m., I thought, man, this guy, he's got a life.
He's a new father, though.
I'm in bed by 10 most nights.
292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants, and I would think you would have mentioned the Top.
The Top does have a great burger, actually. It's on their bar menu, and it's probably one of the best values at the Top as well. I think it's only like $8 or $9, but it's served on the bar menu only, which is I think after 9 p.m. Most nights.
Little Palace downtown,
they're little slider burgers, the double slider burger. It's like $3 or $4, and it's great.
So they've managed to keep prices pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think they have to. I mean, they're trying to attract a bar crowd, not to mention they're right next door to Dirty Frank's, where you can, you know, eat pretty reasonably. So I think that's kind of their market. But I think they're doing very well. It's a great place. I have a lot of friends that love it.
It is fun, and they've tried to duplicate some of the items that the old Little Palace had. They've got a gyro. They were only charging something like $3 for it. I think we encouraged them to add 50 cents to it to make sure they stayed in business.
And the hate mail can be
addressed to me.
I didn't do that.
But, the little sliders, and they have a number of – you could go in, and one of the fun things is ordering appetizers, I notice it's happening a lot among our foodie friends. They order off the left side of the menu for dinner because there's this theory that the creative chefs spend more time on those items than they do on the standards.
So this would be the appetizers, salad, soups, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so order two of those.
Well, and of course the portions will be perhaps a little more reasonable. I'm finding that despite all of the discussion about people eating too much, portions being too big, that you can go to restaurants and pretty much divide your entree.
Well, there's also the theory that after the first 4 or 5 bites, you're not really gaining any true taste or satisfaction from something. That's why tapas dining is so popular, because you get to try so many different things and stimulate your palate in so many different ways.
292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants today. We'll take a break here and be right back.
So the president puts out a request to the speaker to come over on Wednesday, and the speaker releases a statement saying, no, how about Thursday? And the president puts out a statement saying, but you said Wednesday was okay. And the speaker's next press release was like, no, I didn't, you're a liar, nyan, nyan, nyan. two men are acting like six-year-old children if six-year-olds had spokesmen. I'm Peter Sagal, and my spokesman says I'm just overtired and need a nap. See for yourself on this week's News Quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. Sunny skies and a hot day today, a high of 97 this afternoon. Right now it is 84 degrees. Clear skies tonight, an overnight low of 74. Sunshine and a high of 95 for Saturday. Partly cloudy Saturday night and a low of 70 degrees. There is a chance of showers and thunderstorms on Sunday and a high of 86. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
And good morning. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about food and restaurants with John Marshall, restaurant critic for Columbus Monthly, and Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU. You were just talking about the new Scioto Mile during the break, and
Milestone 229. Yeah, I have not eaten there, but it's so popular, it's difficult to get in. I think now that school is in session, we'll have maybe a smaller crowd that people would go with their kids and sit in the bar area outside. You know, it's kind of a great scene, and the menu looks good. John, you said you've been there twice
for lunch. Now it's close to my office, and it's really quite good. I was pleased with it so far. We'll let it. Get its legs under it before we do a formal review. But it's been – I had a great butternut squash soup. I had a nice chicken dish and also a nice piece of salmon. So, I think it bodes well. It's the same people that are doing Columbus Brewing Company,
right,
which is close by and a popular lunch and dinner place.
And it's open both for lunch and dinner.
Yes.
Yes.
So this is accommodating, I would think, people who are coming down to see the new Scioto Mile. As well as, I guess there's a kind of a
big condo development right there.
Yeah.
Huge number of condos right there. I don't know what the percentage of occupancy is yet, but
those condos on Front Street, that big.
Right.
Apparently, a real estate friend of mine told me last weekend that because they weren't selling as condos, they're renting them, and it's fully occupied, which was startling to me because it's such a huge
renting's very popular in this market. People are not very confident to buy right now.
Yeah, I think people from Mira Nova, which is really just across the park, will wander over and try a Milestone 229. Of course, they have M, which is a more formal dining, serious and very good restaurant in the building, but Milestone is a little more casual.
Yeah. And I find that every time I go to the Columbus Brewing Company, the quality of stuff has been maintained over, 10 years that they've been open. I think it's very good.
Do either of you remember who bought it? I think two gentlemen who bought it from the Cameron Mitchell Enterprise. It was originally a Cameron Mitchell place, and they've kept it the quality very high.
Yeah.
And now they've got this new place that just seems to be doing well.
I can't recall their names. If you haven't been down to the Mile, go down and walk it. It's fun. It's beautifully done, and it's well patrolled for those people who might be concerned. But you can grab a carry out and go sit on one of these. They've got benches, they've got swings, they've got tables, and it's a really great setting. Maybe not today or tomorrow when it's 95 degrees, but
well, they have misters or something, don't they?
They do have misters and a big fountain you can run through. So there's no reason you can't start your dinner and then run through the fountains and come back in
and have dessert.
Just digest your food first.
Yeah, bring a towel.
2928513 and. From Galena is joining us and wants to weigh in on the best burger competition here. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Ann.
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you about the Greek burger at Yanni's. It is the best in town, and it's worth the trip getting out there. It's wonderful.
And when you say Greek, what characterizes it?
He puts feta cheese on it, and then he has his Greek sauce that he puts on it.
Like tzatziki or something, or
is it a lamb?
Yes.
Is it a lamb burger or is it
no,
beef?
No, it's beef.
All beef? Not a combo? Okay.
Nope, it's all beef, and it's wonderful.
Good to know.
And where is that?
Yanni's is on Cleveland Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. It's
Oakland.
Close to 270.
Yes.
Just south.
Yeah.
Yep.
You take 270, go south on Cleveland, and you'll see a shopping center and then it's sort of tucked away to your left. There used to be a Japanese place next to it that closed called Sapporo Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you very much for your call, 292-8513. And we have a couple of other topics to bring up as the burger competition rages on. From Field to Table is coming up at Franklin Park Conservatory, which has become a pretty popular annual event. Started, what, a year or so ago?
This is its third year. Yeah.
So this is September 16th. It's a one-day event,
I believe. Right. It's a lovely event. Hopefully the weather holds up. It's been, for the last couple of years, a beautiful evening, and it's a great setting. It's around that piece of sculpture called the North Star or something like that.
Navistar.
Navistar, yes. Yeah, and the tables are set up as long tables and spokes coming from there. A lot of people are contributing to the event. A lot of people being chefs and other vendors. They've got actually, if you come, you can see a couple of us sweating over the live fire cooking, making pizzas, if Jim will let us do it.
Great plan at 90 degrees.
Well, we have a couple of weeks. Maybe it'll cool off by then.
Yeah.
But are the greens? Is the produce?
It's all local sourcing, yeah.
But now they have big gardens
it's
there.
It's not all from the gardens at Franklin Park.
No, it's not from the gardens. Okay. Some of them may be. But
some may contribute. Those are individually licensed plots that most of those people use for their own production.
Right. Huh. That's
and
where
And then the Franklin Park has some veg of their own and fruit bushes as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'd be enough nearly to supply that event. There's, I think, 600 people usually attend.
Yeah, it's over 600 now, and it's so popular. If you want to go, I think there are probably a couple more tickets left, but they don't send out invitations. People actually solicit.
So it's members tickets. First, that kind of thing?
No. Members happen to know about it first, right. But anyone can attend. Yeah.
Well, they know you're cooking, Rich, so hundreds show up.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And if you haven't been out to Franklin Park recently, I was out there last fall. There's also a barn-like structure where they have cooking classes.
It's called the Education Pavilion. It's very nicely done. They have a nice kitchen. The only thing it lacks for a class is they don't have one of those tilted mirrors, so folks have to kind of gather around the stovetop. But, it's very nicely done. Brand new. I think it can even be rented. Shameless plug, Stover and I do classes out there if you want to sign up.
292-8513, and we're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus. And Margaret's joining us. Good morning. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Why is North Star considered a vegetarian restaurant?
It's not.
It's not. I think they do serve a number of items that are vegetarian and some even that are vegan, but it's, it may be people started calling it that because they had a number of items. And
I think they offer more than your average restaurant in that regard, but they certainly are not a vegetarian restaurant.
And they certainly have a big effort to do local sourcing. Not all their stuff by any means is local, but a fair amount is, and they do a great deal of organic stuff as well. So sometimes when people who are local and organic, they start assuming vegetarian, but it's not. They serve beef. They have bacon.
Chicken. They have a number of tofu items as well, so that's probably why they get the vegan.
When they have the best of any number of, papers, that they always say North Star is a vegetarian restaurant. And as far as I'm concerned, if I go to a vegetarian restaurant, I don't want to smell meat, I don't want to see it, and I don't want to have to worry about, if they're doing things right on the grill. But Columbus Alive does it. A number of other papers do it, and they call it a vegetarian restaurant, and I think that's
One look at their menu, and that's clearly not true.
If the media mislabels them, that's not North Star's fault.
Yeah.
So, but it is a place that vegetarians do go because there are a number of options.
Right. Yeah, and just to clarify, maybe I don't know if this is the reason I had mentioned that they have a good vegetarian burger there, and that's well known, but again, that they're not entirely vegetarian.
Yeah, it's one of their premier items,
right,
I guess.
Exactly.
Well, I think all restaurants in the last 5 or 10 years have made a real effort to get vegetarian offerings on their menus, just like now with gluten-free items. There is a demand, and that doesn't necessarily make the restaurant.
It's similar to the demand for local, locally sourced products, which people know generally mean are fresher and better tasting, not always, but generally organic products, which people want because they don't want the pesticides and herbicides. It's the same kind of demand. I think that's demand's only going to increase.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for your call this morning, Margaret. We haven't.
Margaret, you can feel safe at Dragonfly.
Yes. Well, speaking of that, Rick has emailed us and wants a recommendation for a good vegan restaurant. Dragonfly obviously comes to mind.
It's not vegan. It's vegetarian. Mm-hmm. But strictly vegetarian, but not vegan.
Right.
Although they do have a number of vegan items at Dragonfly, and that's on King Avenue.
Well, see, I just did it. As a member of the media, I mislabeled it.
Darn media.
Are there any vegan restaurants?
Strictly vegan?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's very difficult.
So that's very difficult to
I think that's no dairy, no
right.
Nothing, right?
Yeah,
that'd be a tough one.
Right. No ovo, no dairy.
And no bacon, which keeps me from going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It would be difficult to run, I think. I don't know if there's enough of a crowd to actually make one profitable. That's probably the reason we see vegetarian restaurants with
vegan
items.
Until the
market
demands it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably won't see it.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Rick. I was ready to give you Dragonfly, but it's not to be.
Again,
close.
Vegetarian, just not fully vegan. Yep.
2928513, Micheline writes on Facebook that she would recommend Cafe Brioso on Gay Street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Oh, I go a fair amount because I have work downtown and, you know, some of the big law firms around there, so I'm always prowling around. Brioso does one of the best. Their coffee is terrific, and they do really terrific and I think correctly made cappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
For my taste, the cappuccino should not be a latte. And I know this
in disguise.
I know that probably climate change is a more important serious topic than this, but I am on my high horse about it because having spent a little time in Italy, the cappuccino is not just tons of steamed milk. It's a little bit of steamed milk and foam, and then Brioso does it just right. Their espresso is just right. I like their coffee. It's not over-roasted, strong, but not over-roasted. But they also do really nice lunch items, great baked goods, muffins, fresh muffins.
Soup, salads, sandwiches, it's all good.
Yeah, you can go there on lunchtime sometimes, and line will be out the door.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
Well, and she mentions here that they make a wonderful lemonade from scratch for only $2, which is almost unheard of.
It's almost hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hardly get fresh squeezed orange juice anymore, let alone lemonade.
Yeah.
292-8513, and Marcus is joining us from Columbus. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My name is Marcus Spellman, and I wanted to get some feedback on Barley's Smokehouse in Grandview.
And that's on 33, right?
Right,
Riverside
Double
Drive.
Road, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
And
great wing.
That's more of a barbecue type menu than the one in the Short North, isn't it?
Largely barbecue. I haven't been out there for a while.
I haven't either. It's been a long time.
I remember it being good, competent barbecue and good beers.
I enjoy their beer a lot. Yeah. I can't speak to their barbecue.
Yeah, I'm kind of addicted to their wings, and they have a wonderful appetizer. You guys were talking about appetizers earlier. I called sauerkraut ball.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
I have had those. It's been a couple years, but they are really good. Turns out that something like that, it goes really well with beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
Of course.
I try to stay away from too much beer, but the sauerkraut balls, I cannot stay away from.
Yeah. There was a bar downtown that was favored by the legislature and all the lobbyists. It was in 88 East Broad, and that's where I think sauerkraut balls were introduced to the city about 30 years ago. And they were kind of like the governmental style of hush puppies or something.
do you remember the name of it? I'm trying to remember.
I do vaguely
remember the place because it was still open when I started practicing. That was in the days when you'd see lawyers and judges having martinis at lunch, you know, 30 years ago. But
okay.
Bad practice, let me just say that, for the record.
And along those lines, actually, there's a fried, like, if you like fried, you know, kraut and breading, there's a fried, like, Irish, it's called Irish Reuben egg roll or something at the Doubled Village Tavern. It's really good.
It's an Irish Reuben egg roll.
That's what they call it. It's got, you know, kraut in it and pastrami and... And then I think comes with, you know, Russian dressing or something to dip in. But it's along those lines, and I absolutely love that.
And, of course, you have to have a beer.
Yes, unless it's during the workday.
That's in the category of what will they think of next.
Yeah, exactly.
We might find that at the State Fair next year.
292-8513. And Steve has an answer for our vegan restaurant question. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I do have a recommendation for vegan food. It's more or less pub fare, and it's a bar located on 1297 Parsons Avenue called Hal and Al. It's a bright blue beacon of hope for vegan beer drinkers and pub fare fans.
No kidding.
These are very confused.
Well, what's that cross street? You know, Parsons and.
It's Parsons and it's right at Hanford.
Okay. It's like Marion Village area.
Yes,
okay.
It's Marion Village. It's very active also in the Marion Village community, and the owners are great folks, and they've even got a few vegan beers on tap.
Wow.
Vegan beers. Yeah. Thank you. This is a great call.
And they've actually got one of the largest, I would say, probably short of Bodega, an upcoming world of beer. They've probably got like 20 handles and a great happy hour, half-price draft, 4 to 8.
How long has that been open, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm going to say I believe they've had their second birthday just recently.
Okay, all right, because I used to live down in that area about 4 years ago. I didn't remember it, but that's a terrific tip. Thank you.
Yeah, to run down.
Well, I hope some folks check it out.
You know, this is called L and L?
How and Owls, H-A-L.
How.
And
Al.
Owl.
Howl and
Owl. Owl and Owl.
Gotcha. Yes. Got it.
Okay, I'm
you
Parsons.
You can't miss it. It's bright blue. 1297 Parsons Avenue.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to live in a city that's big enough when just out of the blue someone says, well, there's this bar that has 20 handles of beer and they serve vegan pub food.
Columbus, you've come a long way.
Exactly. 292-8513, and Chuck is joining us and wants to know if there's any 5-star restaurants in town.
Who's rating?
Yeah, there are some excellent restaurants in town, I don't know if I'll be sued for this or not, but the mobile guide star system is just
doubtful
at best. Mr. Yeah. Boudreaux and I were asked to do that a number of years ago, and one of the restaurants which we were supposed to review was the Highlight, which had closed 3 years beforehand.
Yeah. Chuck, are you there? I didn't hear your voice.
No, I think that Chuck has left us. But depending, of course, as you said, who's
rating. The Monthly has a star system up to 5 stars. Right. And I can tell you what the 5-star restaurants are by the Monthly. There are only 4 of them. Mm-hmm. It's Refectory, Kihachi, the Japanese restaurant, Rigsby's, and Elena's.
Elena's, yeah.
And that's typically, at least those 4 restaurants typically show up in just about
everybody's list. Yeah.
Everybody's top 10 except one guy who doesn't go there, whose name we won't mention.
But I think.
And there are others that are 4.5.
Absolutely.
Von Teeb and a
right?
Brother.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, G. Michaels is terrific.
And everybody, I think, mentions Barcelona and Deepwood and any number of restaurants. But it's remarkable, even in the time that I've been here, how the restaurant scene has grown and improved. It's remarkable.
I was forwarded a really interesting article on Facebook the other day. Somebody sent me from the San Diego Reader about what a great food town Columbus was.
Great.
And how shocked they were to have seen that.
Yeah, because San Diego doesn't stink as a food town. I've been out there.
No, it doesn't, and it's nowhere near here. It was just impressive to see that. I was very impressed.
Well, of course, the Washington Post did a huge article, I think, in the late winter, early spring, which was reprinted eventually here, and I would imagine in other papers around.
Well,
many
of our places have gotten national press. All the restaurants I just mentioned that are 5 stars have gotten national press of one kind or another. I know Elena's was in a couple years ago was in Food and Wine's top 50 wine and food restaurants in the country. Kihachi has been mentioned, repeatedly in the national press. So,
mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain went there when he was in town with Edelman. So.
292-8513. We have another break right here, and we'll be back in just a moment.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear conversations that you won't hear anywhere else.
Do you understand love?
Well, I understand caring. See, most of my relationships are more intellect, and to me, love is caring.
Posing questions to fascinating people like Temple Grandin and giving them the time to answer on Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News.
This week's POV focuses on StoryCorps shorts, animated shorts using original recordings that have become beloved by NPR Driveway Moments. The first episode is about Miss Lizzie Devine, a unique Sunday school teacher. The second episode is called No More Questions, about a grandmother reluctant to tell her stories, about rebuffing suitors while growing up in China, and her adventures as a detective. Watch POV StoryCorps Shortcuts Sunday night at 10:30 on WOSU-TV. 85 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:40 this morning. Sunny and hot today, warming up to a high of 97 degrees. There is a heat advisory in effect for today. Clear skies tonight, a low of 74. Sunny and hot for Saturday, a high of 95. There's a chance of rain on Sunday with a high of 86 degrees. And cooling off for Labor Day, mostly sunny for Monday, and a high of just 72. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Good morning. We're back with restaurant reviewers John Marshall of Columbus Monthly, WOSU's Rich Terapak, along with his son Rich. And we're talking about food and restaurants. And Craig has been patiently waiting here. Go ahead.
Yes, I just tuned in a little, just a few minutes ago, and I heard you talking about vegan restaurants. And in Columbus, my wife and I, actually about a couple of weeks ago, I discovered that there is a restaurant. It's located on Livingston Avenue, just east of Bryce Road. And I think the name of the restaurant is called Happy Hut. And my wife and I, we're always looking for alternative restaurant and food. And so we happened to go by there last night, and I had a sandwich. It was a vegan sandwich, and we had some rice, and it's a pretty tasty dish that I had. And I also had a smoothie. It was like a tropical fruit, organic fruit, according to the menu, and it was very tasty.
The Happy Hut, is that an Asian restaurant? Or
you know what?
A sandwich,
I think they're Vietnamese.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. Hmm. And they have a large menu, variety of different foods that they have there. But it was our first time there last night.
So it was east of Bryce, did you say?
East of Bryce Road.
On Livingston.
Off of Livingston Avenue.
Okay. Great.
And I think they only been open for a few months.
Okay. Thanks for the tip.
Yep.
As you were talking, it occurred to me that some of our Indian restaurants are close to being vegan, if not. Udupi Cafe up on, is that on Morse Road, I think?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little place called Dosa Corner on Old Henderson Road, just off Kenny, that serves those rice pancakes called Dosa. I suspect they're real close to being vegan. I know it's vegetarian. So there may, for those who are truly looking for a vegan restaurant, going to some of the Indian vegetarian restaurants will get you close to it.
Yeah, that's true.
292-8513, Gretchen is joining us and wants to weigh in on sauerkraut balls. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say, I think the name of the restaurant that you were talking about was the Pewter Mug.
Pewter Mug,
oh,
I finally
right.
thought of it, yeah. Thank
okay.
you.
Great,
bye.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
And wasn't that in the alley there?
Well, you could enter from the alley or the lobby. Yeah, and I think most of the members of the government entered from the alley.
Well, now they have their own lunch counter in the State House, so yeah. they won't have to go in through the back door anymore. 292-8513. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up, there's been a recent article in the paper about Spinelli's Deli, which has a location on Neal Avenue where the Giant Eagle is, and had a location down on Gay Street for less than a year, I think.
Less than a year, yeah.
And they recently closed, and they're opening a food truck. Is this something we're going to be seeing more of, do you
yes,
think?
Yes, all restaurants will eventually be out of trucks. Convinced of this. Did any of you stop by the Food Truck Festival last Friday? Were you there, Rich?
I did go, actually, and lucky for me, I got there very early. It got crowded real
now,
quick.
Now, where was this?
This was down at the new Columbus Commons, where City Center mm-hmm. Mall used to be. I'd just say I think it's a great concept for an event. I don't think they anticipated 12,000 people showing up, and they kind of – the Columbus Commons is a nice long mall area, and they kind of put all the food trucks right next to each other at about one-third of the mall's end. And so the lines, you know, were – it was really crowded, lots of lines, and they actually – most of the places ran out of food by about 6 o'clock, and the thing was supposed to go till 10. So I think it's something they definitely ought to try again, but I think they'll probably – you know, they were all the trucks were lined up on the outside facing in as well. It would be much more efficient to line them up down the middle facing out so that lines don't intersect with each other.
You just volunteered to plan the next
move. No, I didn't mean that.
I think he's getting a call from the mayor.
But I just, it's a great idea. But I would like to see more of the Columbus vendors there. Several of them were from out of town, places I didn't recognize. And then there were carts at the other end. Spinelli's Deli had a cart actually at the other end, not a full truck. But I would have loved to have seen, like, DeLevy's got a little cart, I think attached to a bicycle. I would have loved to have seen them there. And some more of the taco trucks. There was actually only, I think, one or two taco trucks there.
Really?
And there are a couple.
And there's probably at least 30 or 40 of those around Columbus. Yeah. So I think next time, now that they know how popular it can be, I think it'll be a lot probably easier to draw the vendors. But it needs to be planned a little better.
Some of those trucks are actually trailers, and they're pretty hard to move. I know that there's the one on King Avenue. In my recollection, it's not a truck, truly. It's a trailer that's been deposited there. Mm-hmm. Or Yerba Buena up in Clintonville, that's going to have to move now apparently because some whiner complained about it. It's a big old trailer, so it's probably hard to get them there. But I know the cheesy truck was there. I like that.
Yeah, they were there, and then they had a specialty egg roll truck I think that was from Dayton. They had another Polish sausage cart from Cleveland.
I'm looking for the Chateau Lafite Rothschild truck serving vertical tastings of Chateau Lafite Rothschild.
They did have a seafood truck, which was just a series of fryers basically. But I had a pretty good po' boy from there. I was like a Boston Seafood or something it was called. But not a lot of local places I recognized, which is okay. It's always fun to try other places. But I think the great benefit to the vendors could be to expose themselves locally in the community, so that when people spot them around town, they say, "Oh, I saw that place, loved it," or somebody else did. And but hopefully they'll try it again, because I think it's a great idea. That just,
Well, I don't know how you necessarily anticipate attendance with something like that.
Right.
Because that would be completely overwhelming, especially your first time out. You think, it could be spotty. You don't know how the word's gotten out to
Nobody
people.
Nobody comes downtown except for 12,000 people.
Prior to going, though, I listened to 102.5 on the radio a lot, and they were advertising for it for about a week before nearly on every commercial break. So, the word was out. I think they could have anticipated a few – maybe not 12,000, but they should have anticipated several thousand because, they'd been hyping it up for a week. It was all over Facebook and the
internet. Well, of course, here at WOSU, we've never heard of that radio station.
Oh, sorry.
But thank you so much. I don't know, though, how – if you're in a situation like that, how do you resupply a mobile truck
middle of the – you run out. There's nothing you can do. And that's not the vendor's fault. They didn't know how many people to expect either. But hopefully now they will.
But what about this idea of a restaurant actually closing its doors in favor of a mobile truck? Do you think that some of these smaller restaurants might just follow suit?
Depends what your overhead is.
Right. Lower overhead, probably. Yeah.
That's the reason DeLevy's doing it, I'm sure, yeah.
Well, they're keeping
not closing,
their store.
But they are doing a cart, yeah.
Oh, theirs is, a bicycle cart. It's, very low overhead. You don't even have to buy gas.
Well, with gumbo.
Yeah.
292-8513, and we're talking about restaurants. I did want to mention that today's Favoroo coupon, which used to be Fuda, and we had quite a discussion about Fuda here on this program a couple of months ago. It's a Groupon-like situation, but they do donate money to the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. Is for the Worthington Inn, which is also another highly rated local restaurant.
Tom Smith's place, yeah, that's a good restaurant. That in my view, that's about 4.5 stars. Tom's probably listening and wondering why I'm not saying 5. Well, we haven't rated you there yet, but it does a really nice job at the Worthington Inn.
And we're being chastised on a couple of notes here already by mail. The restaurant on Bryce Road apparently is called the Loving Hut. Not the Happy Hut.
Okay.
Not that there's any difference between the two.
Well, we didn't call it that. It was the caller.
Well, just a minute. Somebody called Dragonfly to confirm, and they say their menu is 100% vegan. So they do have some non-vegan wine and honey.
They have great martinis, by the way.
Is all vegan.
Well, see, they have non-vegan wine and honey, and thus they're not vegan.
Spoken like a true lawyer. Thank you. Here's an email from Daniel, who would like to mention Due Amici. And they have live jazz, half-price bottles of wine, and wonders if our panel could suggest.
I noticed the riches both sat up straight when they heard half-price bottles of wine.
I think it was the jazz that turned them on.
I think
Liquor Control
Amici, Commission probably would have set up as well.
I think Due Amici has gotten very good over the last couple of years. I tried it 3 or 4 years ago when they first opened and didn't enjoy it that much, and I've been back since, and I think it's quite good.
And this is on Gay Street.
It's on Gay.
It's one of those many,
well, this,
first block of east of Hyatt.
This emailer is looking for other places that have similar atmosphere.
To Due Amici, I mean, you could say, especially for happy hour Marcella's down in the Short North. It's kind of that loud bar environment. They also do half-price wines up to $36 a bottle. So you can get a $36 retail bottle at $18 bucks. I think all their appetizers are half off. That'd be another good one. Again, it fills up quickly, and happy hour is only from 4 to 6.
So the one on,
it's a little early.
The one on Polaris, though, is open.
Till 7.
Till 7.
But that's not quite as social a scene. If you're looking more of a Due Amici type, I'd say Marcella's in the Short North.
Yep, Marcella's the common Mitchell restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
They do a really nice job with the appetizers and little plates. And
they're probably my favorite of the Mitchell family of restaurants, actually.
And that's located right there on North High Street, and I believe the windows open
the street. Yep, in the summer, yeah. So it kind of opens it up.
292-8513, and Molly's on the line. Hi, good morning. Molly, are you with us?
Yo, Molly, yes.
Go ahead.
I'm here, thank you. I am deathly allergic to soybean, but I have some relatives coming who are vegetarians, and they vegetarian restaurants often use a lot of soybean. Do you know of any vegetarian restaurants that don't use soybean?
I can't.
That's really tough.
I doubt that exists.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to really watch that because the soy oil is used, of course.
Yeah.
Tofu, soy sauce.
Soy sauce, yeah.
You know, that's a tough one. Wow.
Cook at home.
Sorry. No, that's not fair.
I know.
Bacon has no soy in it.
But, you know, I go online to some of the restaurants we've mentioned and look at their and look at the menu and then call and inquire if you can find anything there that does not contain a soy product.
Are you so allergic that even traces of it is a problem?
Yeah.
I'm asking you a medical question. We should get a HIPAA release before we do this. That is tough. And you just have to trust your restaurant.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, most restaurants, they appreciate being, you know, if you let them know that kind of thing in advance, and they'll try and work with you, I'm sure, as the best they can.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. 292-8513, and we're joined this morning by Lindsay, who has some information about local food trucks. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. I'm from the Columbus area, but I live in Orlando, Florida now, and we have a huge food truck, like bloggers and all kinds of things down there. And the first event that we did was in March, and it had 20 food trucks, and there were a million people there. I think we stood in line for like 3 hours for one truck. And the last time I was in Columbus, I couldn't really find a lot of information online about, you know, where the food trucks were, what their hours were, you know, what they were serving. I think I found the, what is the truck called? The cheese truck?
Cheesy truck.
I found it, but I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of information.
ColumbusFoodTrucks.com?
There's Taco Trucks Columbus, because the majority of them out there are the taco trucks. That's kind of where the movement started, and there's a website, TacoTrucksColumbus.com. Other than that, I don't know if there's a centralized place.
There are a lot of trucks, and as Rich says, a lot of taco trucks. I think there are 45 at last count, different taco trucks around.
Yeah, some they go in and out of existence, it seems, but they tend to be, the bulk of them are in the Hispanic neighborhoods in the city, which is on the northeast side and then, of course, on the west side primarily. But there are a lot of others. The cheesy truck you can like on Facebook, and then you'll get the information from them.
Uh-huh.
There are two or three others that have Facebook pages, I think. Not so much the taco trucks, but Yerba Buena in the Clintonville area is a good choice, and I'm pretty sure they have a Facebook page.
Okay.
Where are they moving, by the way?
You know, not clear yet. They were just right around where the North Star is. I guess it would be a little north of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about going to some place on Indianola. Apparently some realtor complained. There's some zoning ordinance and
We're having a lot of problems in Orlando with that, too, where the trucks keep having to move because they'll be somewhere for a week and then Well, you know, they have zoning problems and well, a lot they of have
the,
to go.
The restaurants who, you know, through their rent or ownership of the buildings that, you know, pay property taxes in those areas, you know, a lot of them, I think, don't appreciate the trucks, you know, taking away business when they're, you know, employing people in the community and paying taxes there.
Well, this is a relatively new phenomenon. I'm sure it will start to kind of settle down as time goes on and people there, you know, there's bound to be some tension at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. But all in all, I'm very supportive of the concept, and I think it, you know, can't do anything but, you know, raise the bar for, you know, everyone else around.
I agree, but that's my stomach talking.
Yeah, me too.
292-8513. We have a few minutes left, and we're joined by Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, good.
Just wanted to make a note. I did not hear Lindy's mentioned in Columbus Favorites, and I think that is a staple of the Columbus area.
Been around a long time. Yeah, it's a good restaurant.
Yeah.
Sue Duty does a great job for a long time.
I might say, actually, and I used to work at Lindy's back in high school in the early 90s.
I made him go to work as soon as he could.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. child labor is big in our family. No, just kidding. But I used, you know, it's got a special place in my heart, and I used to love it. When I first moved back to Columbus about 6 years ago, I moved to, as I mentioned, the Merion Village area right down there, and I was not blown away by Lindy's, but I happened to be back there just 2 weeks ago for a friend's birthday. And each person at the table got, and we had about eight of us, got a different item. So I got to try several different things, and it was really, really good. And a great scene, as always. The patio there is terrific. So I definitely would put Lindy's back up in that category.
Yeah, the folks who called about Due Amici and looking for something with a similar atmosphere, I think for maybe a little more senior crowd in the 30s or 40s, that Lindy's would be the Lindy's bar area is always mm-hmm. hopping.
There's a nice patio behind Bazzi Italia. It's small, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'd go there in the 95-degree weather. But
and we were there a couple of weeks ago and took friends that had not been there before. It was jam-packed. But luckily enough, we have friends who work there, so we got a table faster.
I was there last night, and their gnocchi is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course, we say that the patio there at Bazzi Italia is small, but it's probably twice or three times larger than the actual dining room.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. It's a small place, but very worth, if you can find a seat, it's worth eating at. For
well,
sure.
And of course, find the restaurant itself, as
yeah,
you pointed out.
Right.
But
right.
It actually, it's right behind Neal Avenue in the alley, Highland Alley, between Buttles and Hubbard Avenue.
Right.
So it's not that difficult to find parking. Is difficult, but they do have a valet service.
Yeah.
So
nice bar area outside, good wine selections. It's fun.
Yep.
292-8513, and we have time for Brett. Go ahead. Brett.
Oh, hi. I was just going to suggest to the woman who's allergic to soy but looking for a vegetarian restaurant that she might want to try the banana leaf or a similar southern Indian vegetarian restaurant.
You know, that's a good suggestion. It occurred to me that the soybean and soy products are not used particularly, although they can be used in southern Indian vegetarian cooking. So I'll bet if she goes to, say, Udupi Cafe or Dosa Corner, or there's one other that I'm forgetting about, and then asks, she could probably find lots of things that have no
mm-hmm.
contact with soy. Yeah, good call. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And 292-8513, we have just about a minute left. And I think that we've mentioned that before, that there are a number of restaurants where you can go in and they will work with you. I think you mentioned Indochine out on Hamilton Road, that they're very friendly and warm and will come out and talk to you about.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to the restaurants that are mean and nasty to
yes,
you.
Yes, those.
Well, most of the smaller mom-and-pop shops, you know, they take pride in such things. And they know that that's how they draw a loyal base of customers. And, you know, they rely on word of mouth. And that's the kind of thing that gets word of mouth going, is that kind of personal service.
Well, for me, any Dine Originals restaurant is going to be good for that. Or any restaurant where they have well-trained staff.
Right.
They're going to
mm-hmm.
be good to you.
And, of course, we've mentioned Dine Originals any number of times on the program, and I think they've got another Dine Originals week coming up sometime this fall, and there are gift certificates usually available on their website. We've been talking with John Marshall, who's restaurant critic for Columbus Monthly Magazine, along with restaurant reviewer Rich Terapek and his son, Rich. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, WOSU 820 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media. News is next from NPR. We'll be back again in October.